There I am, on the road again. Hey guys, on the road again. Well, I'm not a lot further than I was when I last left you, because I stopped to eat a hamburger. And also to look in a compact disc store. Here's a horrifying truth of my life. I just went into a CD/DVD store, and wasn't super tempted by any items except for a double disc Demolition Man over the top DVD, which was, I think, $4. And I should have probably gotten, I just realized that I just saw Demolition Man, but I realize now that it's because I borrowed it from the library, not because I own it. So now I feel like a fool. But that's not the disturbing part. Is I go into the CD/DVD store, which is like one of my favorite things from my youth, probably. And on the way, I passed a Tuesday Morning, which seems to be like weird furniture, home furnishing, home decor items for like middle-aged ladies who've survived cancer. And there was like a chest of drawers. There are actually two items outside of Tuesday Morning, you know, that I was more interested in than I was interested in the CD and DVD store stock. And that's real, that's sad to me. That made me fucking sad. Last week, I think I've been having a bit of a midlife crisis. Which I did the math and was like, well, if I live to 62... that doesn't seem super old. But then I also felt like, if I was only halfway through my life, I don't know, another 31 years, that's pretty good. Because, you know, the first, like, 18, I couldn't even do anything. So really, it's like double the life I've lived already. I still have left. But anyway. I don't know, I think prompted by moving in with a significant other and, being in a house instead of an apartment for the first time, even though we don't really own the house. I mean, there's still house shit. And then also, I've been thinking a lot, man, about midlife crises. Well, let me start with this. I do have a little tale to tell about something that happened to me. Now, I have mixed feelings about telling stories about my work on here. Because privacy is important to the people that I work for, and to me, I think it's important that people have their privacy. And so I generally don't tell tales of like people I encounter at work, because I just feel like that's a dangerous ground. I'm on deadly ground, starring some guy, rated R. But I tried to justify it to myself because this story is sort of crazy. And also, I do kind of feel differently about this particular story. And I will tell you why. I'm not going to tell you a story where I'm, like, making fun of somebody who doesn't know, like, how to use a computer. Right? Like, I'm not mocking somebody. It's not like an ignorant person and it's like, can you believe these fucking idiots are like this or something like that. Like, there's nothing like that about this story. And the other thing, and you know, no one's going to know who I'm talking about. It's not like someone's going to be like, oh my God, that's Frank. You know, nobody's going to know that shit. So, if it makes you feel better about it, if this makes you uncomfortable, I will just say right now, this is not my story. This is a story I read in a blog online that was not my blog. Some blogspot site that some other anonymous person put up, okay? And so I'm just repeating that story because I thought it was so good. And I'll just be telling it in the first person and sounding like I have intimate knowledge, but I'm ripping off someone else's story that I don't remember where I found it, but I trust me, this is someone else's story, but I'm going to tell it like my own, because that's just my preferred method of storytelling. So there you go. Now you don't have to feel bad. Here's the other thing, and I'll start with that, telling the story that way immediately. Here's the other thing. I feel like when you have a privacy thing, right? Like, everyone's entitled to their privacy, but also people can waive their privacy. And I mean, they can do that in ways that aren't specific to the... So, here's an example, okay? Everyone's got the right to use the library. And a lot of libraries have issues with homeless people. Now, in general, it's fine for a homeless person to be in the library. However, it can cause problems. I went to a library recently where someone was talking about how basically they had to crack down on the homeless. And the reason being was, like, multiple times people had gone into the bathroom and there was someone passed out because they were fucking drugged up as fuck, right? And so at the point when it doesn't, when it prevents other people from using and enjoying the space, then you gotta say, okay, we gotta make a change. We gotta do something here. This is not working. So example, like a homeless person would be, you know, it's cool for them to be there, but let's say their odor is such that other people can't use the space. You know, they're on the computer and people 10 feet away are like, this is too much. Like, it's preventing me from being able to use the space. And the other thing is, usually if somebody complains about an odor or something like that, I found in general that it's usually takes quite a bit. Like, it's, I don't really, that's not like a creative way I've seen people go about complaining and getting rid of somebody. It seems to be like that they're pretty upset, and it's a fucking problem. Usually when the one person, by the time someone complains, 20 other people have just, you know, left and decided not to use the space. So that's an example of a time where you're like, hey man, everyone's got the right to use the space. I don't want to discriminate against you because you're homeless. However, once your being here prevents other people from being here and using the space, then we've got a problem that needs to be addressed. So that's an example of a way when people kind of, they don't specifically say, like, I waive my rights to this, but they also kind of did. you know, and also, any time that someone needs to violate privacy in order for normal operations to continue, that's an acceptable thing as well. Obviously, like, in order for me to make someone a library card, I need to know their information or see their information. Like, it's not reasonable for someone to be like, whatever, this is private. Now, I'm a big advocate of privacy. Like, I think bigger than others in a lot of ways, you know, and my workplace has done some things that I think are questionable in terms of privacy. For example, we really encouraged and pushed people to sign up for email notifications for stuff. And, you know, we told them, and it was true, like, this works better than the phone, this is a lot easier, you can manage it better, you can have it go to a certain folder, it's all good. And you get them instantly instead of, you know, the phone calls go out at a scheduled interval. However, after we did this, one department who's in charge of putting out our e-newsletter, which tells people about events, just automatically signed everyone who had an email up for this e-newsletter. Which, to me, is a violation, because they gave us their email under certain circumstances, not, they didn't give us their email under the circumstances of us saying, hey, you're gonna get this. Like, you can't opt out of it until you get it, then you can opt out. But for now, you're just gonna come home and have this in your email inbox. Which I, like, this is why I think I feel differently about this shit, because a lot of people will say to you, what's the big deal? It's just spam email. Well, I fucking hate spam email. And I think that that's the kind of attitude that fucks it up for everybody. Because that's why now I get spam email from, like, Sheraton Hotels, where I never fucking go. And Travelocity, which is like, I'm not gonna, I don't have the lifestyle where I'm going on a vacation because I'm like, oh, this came up for a good deal. I go on a vacation and then I buy a plane ticket. You know what I mean? But I don't I don't go on vacation based on like, oh, this would be a good time to get a deal on this ticket. That's just, I don't live that life. So fuck you, Travelocity. I get lots of spam from shit like Yelp that I'm like, I don't want this. And everything you sign up for now just sends you email. I nearly passed out when I signed up for... Now, Etsy, I don't know how you feel about it, and I don't care how you feel about it. However, you know, it's got its goods and bads. But when you sign up for an Etsy store, basically they're like, we'll send you... Or an Etsy account, it's like, we'll send you a weekly email if you want it. And the box to get the email that says, yeah, send me the email, is by default... unchecked. So most things you have to uncheck the box yourself in order to not get their stupid weekly or daily email. And theirs is like, let's assume people don't want it, and if they do, they can get it. And I was like blown away, right? And I can tell you, I know exactly why companies do this shit. I could tell you, if you don't know, it's because there's somebody who works in their marketing department. And what they can do is if they just automatically sign people up for it, they can be like, look how many people are signed up for our emails. We're succeeding. And nobody is smart enough at that company to say, no, that's just everyone who signed up for our service and you just opted them in and they have to opt out. I mean, like, if you have an email list that people actually opt into, that's a success. Like, if you see an increase in that. But marketing people... don't know how to do that because they don't know how to market shit. They're all charlatans. Anyway, so like I think that in our case, and our person's not a marketer, by the way, so I'm not even talking about my company with that because they specifically said they are not marketers. However, I think that's a violation of someone's privacy. That's us giving an email to basically something that we didn't specify. I think that there are a lot of these kinds of things that, you know, happen that to me are a violation of people's privacy, right? Like, you shouldn't be doing that shit. So that said, basically, I kind of think that this person, well, no one's going to know who he is by my description. I'm not going to describe him physically or anything. I don't know his name. And, the other thing is, he kind of came to me and put his balls on the table and was like, what do you think of that? And the way he acted with me, I feel like he wanted to fucking tell his little story. He wants the world to know. Because the things he told me, he did not need to tell me, and I sure as fuck didn't ask about. So in that way, I also feel like he's violated his right to privacy. Or his, you know, reasonable expectation of privacy. Let's call it that. If you're going to come to me and just put your balls on the table and then tell me something almost in a challenging way, I think at that point it's like, all right, who's the asshole here? And the answer is not me. Now, and yeah, and you know, well, you'll hear the story and then you'll be able to judge for yourself. And again, all of this from when I made that disclaimer is not my story. This is somebody else's story. So, I'm at work. I've had two encounters with this man. And I'm at work and I just get a call. And, you know, we do all kinds of shit. Like, people, I think people, if you're, like, thinking about getting into the library field, let me give you a reality check here. I think most people think that working at a library is basically you'll be at a desk reading a book, and people will come up to you, and they want to know a research-type question, or they want a book about this, right? And that's what you do. That is not what I spend a lot of my time doing, nor do I think most library workers do. You're going to spend way more time showing people how to attach things to an email. You're going to spend a lot more time doing stuff like that, which isn't a bad thing. But just be aware that you're going to be spending a lot of time showing people how to do the same, not complicated, but not simple procedures. Procedures that you'll become real familiar with. He'll also really learn to hate Yahoo email. My God. What a bunch of jerks over there. So, in this variety of things, sometimes we just help people troubleshoot their technology. I don't really know how we got into that business, but we did. And it's fine, like, I don't have a problem with it. Like, here's the thing about working as a librarian. I don't think you have to know how to troubleshoot every piece of technology by heart. And you don't have to, like, I don't have to be able to walk someone through how to fix their Samsung tablet over the phone because I just know every button press on the way. But what you need to do is have enough familiarity with these systems that you can then work it out. And you have to be kind of a little fearless in terms of trying some shit. Okay? So this guy comes in with a laptop and he's got a few questions. But they were like super simple questions, right? And he's telling me about how he got the computer for internet dating. He's like, well, he's an older guy. He's like, I got my computer for internet dating because I moved here. I'm out of state. And I didn't know anybody, and I wanted to find someone to date. And I was like, right on. Nothing like an imperative to make somebody do that. To make somebody learn the computer. I mean, it does seem like what takes... A lot of people, it's like a job, right? Where they're like, I had to learn this for my job, and now I know it. And for him, though, it was like, hey, man, I want to find a lady. And you're like, okay. So then he's telling me, you know, then this is when he starts to get too specific. Now, this encounter isn't when things get real crazy, but he starts telling me about how he found a girlfriend in New Mexico. And he's like, it's a little further than I prefer, but I do like her. And to be honest, before I found this lady, I was looking at finding a wife in Ukraine. Like, I was going to go to Ukraine and pick up a wife. And what was weird about the way he told me that, you know, and he was like, but New Mexico is a lot closer than Ukraine. And I was like, well, that's, let me tell you, never have I heard such a romantic sentiment. Think, fuck, I don't have to go all the way to goddamn Ukraine. Commies over there. You know, and he's telling me, like, they have a lot of smart girls over there. They're optometrists and pharmacists and stuff. But, you know, they just want to get it. They're just desperate to get out of there. Here's what I thought was so weird about the way he talked about this. I guess I always kind of assumed that the guys who did that shit, the guys who would, like, find a Ukrainian wife and bride and bring her over, I kind of always assumed they were, like, a little delusional and thought that this was, like, a possible love connection. You know, and they would be going on a lot of, like, look at the success of arranged marriages. Arranged marriages rarely end in divorce. Which, by the way, I guess that's a way to not be judgmental about an arranged marriage. Go fuck yourself, okay? Arranged marriages don't end in divorce. Do you think that it's possible that someone who lives in the kind of situation where an arranged marriage seems like a good option might also not be comfortable, like, trying to get a divorce? Could you possibly conceive of a world where that might be true? Because I can. If you're willing to let your parents or some crazy old woman find a spouse for you to live your entire life with, maybe, just maybe, you're not really the kind of person who is gonna be real critical of how that marriage is working for you. Like, maybe you're not the person who's going to look at this and be like, yeah, I don't really prefer this, and now I'm going to get divorced. Like, maybe sticking with the arranged marriage is even easier than initiating and going into the arranged marriage, because all you have to do is not leave it. Not saying it's easy, not saying that's not a fucking horrible plight, just saying that that's a real stupid fucking statistic that I'm tired of hearing about. Okay, so he's telling me about this, about these Ukrainian women. I always assumed that these were, like, losers who kind of fooled themselves into believing, like, this could really work, this could be love. I'm going to find a woman who's 40 years younger than me, and this is going to work great. And I gotta wonder, I don't know, has there ever, what's the, I wonder what the, like, upper limit of a legitimate marriage has ever been. Like, a marriage where the two people actually loved each other. And there wasn't, like, a, you know, a baby or a money or something like that. And I gotta wonder that because, like, I don't have trouble, you know, I'm dating somebody who's, like, 5 years younger than me. And I'm 31. Now, I can't imagine dating somebody who is 20 years younger than me when I'm, let's say, 80. But maybe that's not so bad. Like, here's what I think it is. I don't know if it's so much that you don't change the way you do when you're older or when you're younger as you get older. I kind of just think it's about being in a similar place of life. Like, before the person I'm dating now, I dated someone who was about the same amount younger. But we were in, like, real super, like, the person I'm dating now, you know, she just finished her master's degree. She's working full time. She, like, makes the same money I do. She kind of knows what she wants from her life. She's, like, a person. And the person I dated before was a person, too. Don't get me wrong. But what I'm saying, but she was in, like, a real different life place. Like, never really had a full-time job. Never really finished school and was, like, unsure whether that was even something desirable or not. Was in one of those real midlife crises. She was in a crisis, a Jesus Christ. And so, like, to me, I think that the difference isn't so much, you know, there are a lot of differences, by the way. Don't let me suggest that, like, oh, the only differences between these two people is this. But I think that, like, the thing that kills a relationship is, like, if you're in a super different life place, it just doesn't work. Like, how is that ever gonna work? But, so I wonder if you're 80 and your significant other is, like, 65, you're both retired, you're both active or whatever. I don't know, how different is that? It's probably different, but is it super different? I don't know. Certainly, you know, 70 to 80, to me, that would seem like no difference. It would just depend on the individuals, you know? But, like, and you'll see one dude who's 70, and he's like a shell of a skeleton of a man. And then you'll see another dude who's 70, and you're like, oh, this guy is, like, active and enjoying his life and seems happy. He doesn't seem to have any health concerns. That's awesome. Anyway, I question, like, a 30-year difference, 60 to 90. Even that seems like it would be tough to be in the same place. Not impossible, but boy, tough. So, anyway, he was talking about it, and he was, like, real shameless about it, which I guess is, I don't know. I was thinking about this the other day, because I was like, could I, like, let's say I'm never going to get to the point where I get a bride from Ukraine. Like, I try to never say never because then that usually dooms me to doing the thing. But I know myself well enough. Like, I am fine enough being alone that does not seem worth it to me. I would be much more likely, I think, to be an old man and go to one of these Ukrainian bride things to basically be like, hey, listen, I'm not going to make you do wife shit. You can live at my house. We'll be in separate rooms. I just need someone to kind of, like, take care of me a little bit. You know, and that can be, that's your job. Like, I'm hiring you as an employee, like a nanny, basically. So if you really do want to come to America, like, if that's a thing, come here, take care of me until I die in 7 years, and then you're fucking free to do whatever you want. That, and even that, like, I don't think I would go to that trouble, but that's way more likely for me than a wife. Like, what am I going to be doing fucking around finding a wife when I'm, like, 85? Seriously? A wife? Come on. What do you need to get married for at 85? But anyway, I don't know. It was weird that he was so shameless about it, I guess. I found it weird. And is that me being judgmental? Fucking A. I guess so. But you know what? I don't care. Because he was also, like, real, you know, real into telling me how much he was making on the stock market, because that's the other thing he does on the internet is his stocks. He'd made a couple $1,000s that day. So, and he just let me know this without, I didn't ask anything about stocks, and we weren't even talking about stocks. You know, we were fixing, like, some file thing on his computer. It took 2 seconds. And, you know, he's telling me about how he's got several cars because he doesn't have a wife, he doesn't have kids, he has no expenses. So basically, if he sees a car he likes and it's got low miles, he'll buy it. You know, so he's kind of just telling me how awesome his life is, except, which it does sound sort of awesome. But obviously, if you're looking for a Ukrainian wife, there's a God-shaped hole there. A hammer and sickle-shaped hole in life. So, anyway, he goes on his merry way, and I'm just like, eh, that guy was not my favorite, but okay. And then I see him again a couple weeks later. He comes back in. He's got a legitimate problem because his computer is sort of broken. And, you know, but we figure out kind of a workaround. And it probably took 5 minutes to test this out. So we get everything working again, and then he's showing me his dating profile. And he's saying how he's on a site for people over 50, because he's like, oh, I don't need anyone younger than 50. And he's like, now look at this, I like her. He's like, she's real slim, she's actually a model. He's showing me the pictures of her, and they're like these glamour shots. And he's like, hey, you know, oh, these are supposed to be like blurry like this on purpose. And I'm like, yeah, no fucking shit. I'm aware, I know what a Barbizon photo looks like, buddy. Okay? And he's like, she's to be a model, and now she's teaching her granddaughter how to be a model. Which I was like, teaching her what? How to walk funny? How to walk crazily? And wear outfits that no one would ever wear? A lot of teaching to do there. How do you be a model? Well, walk real weird and don't smile. And try not to fall down, but if you do, whatever. I mean, who's gonna care? No one's gonna know. Someone at Fashion Week should do that shit. They should just have somebody fall down every time. Like, I'm gonna have somebody fall down in every one of my, my stuff, and I'm calling it my fall line. And then that's a hilarious pun. I need to write that down in my eccentric millionaire ideas book. My new fall line, and they all fall down. And, the music they come out to is... I like how we've universally agreed that that's the funniest music. Like, that's the music that, you know, they say there's, like, some universal symbols in humanity. Like, you know, the smile or the thumbs up seem to be kind of, like, easy to decipher and everything. And that music is, like, the universal of hilarious situation, madcap, slapstick. Other words from Three Stooges days. Okay, so I'm helping this guy. He's showing me his dating profile. He's showing me this lady, and he's telling me about his various messages. And he's like, I like this lady, too, because she's really slim. And then this is where he tells me, this is where he puts his balls on the table. Is he's like, I like him slim because I can only have sex in the doggy position. I broke my back a few years ago, and so doggy's the only way I can do it. Or some people call it the spooning position. And I was just like... And I'm hooking up a thing on his computer. We are not talking about, like, hey, what kind of sex positions are you into? Or, like, what do you think the best and worst sex position... Like, nothing like that is happening, okay? I am not soliciting any of this shit. This is just what he's telling me. So anyway... He tells me that, and I'm like, oh, okay, like, what do you say to that? There's nothing to say to that. Also, he's, like, showing me these pictures of these, you know, 70-year-old women, and, like, being like, what do you think of her? And I'm like, I don't know, she looks like a fucking 70-year-old woman. What do you want me to say? And, you know, he's even being like, yeah, she's, you know, I like her. And he's like, you know, I'm whatever years old, I can't be choosy. Sort of being like, I like this woman, but, you know, I just want you to know, if I could bang a supermodel, I would. And you're like, okay, thank you. well, that's important information. It's really important for me to know what you find attractive, which older women you find attractive, and that you want me to know that you, you know, beggars can't be choosers, I guess. I don't even know. I don't know, and I don't know how. I don't really know how to tell, like, a sexy 70-year-old woman from a not sexy. Like, yeah, okay, obviously, you know, when it's a grumpier old men situation, and you've got, like, a real sexy old lady or some, or, you know, everyone, Helen Mirren, and you're like, yeah, Helen Mirren's a sexy old lady because she has the body of, like, a 30-year-old woman. Give me a fucking, a hot 30-year-old woman. So you're like, I guess, I mean, if you want to call her, like, a sexy old woman, but you're like, but she's got, like, a young woman's body. Listen, not taking anything away from the great Helen Mirren. I just, you know, when you're talking about, if you're showing me an example of, like, this is what's hot as a set, like, it comes down to this. In my mind, I'm like, I wonder what I'm going to be into when I'm, like, 70. Or 62, I guess, when I'm on my deathbed. Like, am I going to be into 62-year-old women? Or am I going to just be like, I'm kind of, you know, whatever. Still in the same place? Or am I going to be into, like, a specific wife type thing? You like how I put the emphasis? You know, some sort of wife, perhaps? Life partner, if you will, if you'll allow me. I don't know. I don't know what I'd be into, but I wonder. I mean, don't people wonder that? People wonder that, right? Like, I wonder what I'm going to be into when I'm old. What is life going to be like in terms of the sex or the attractiveness or whatever? But, you know, I don't know. It's not like it really matters. I mean, there's been a lot of times in my life when I've been by myself and I was attracted to women of my age at the time. And, like, but it's not like I was having sex with them, so who cares, I guess, right? Like, I don't know, you can be attracted to somebody and not be having sex with them, and that's not the end of the fucking world. So anyway, I don't know what to say about the attractiveness of a super old woman. Maybe they are, and I feel like as an older man, it's appropriate to be attracted to a super older woman. And as a younger man, it's not inappropriate, right? But I don't think I'm being a dick or being abnormal by being like, yeah, I don't know, I'm not real into, like, 70-year-old ladies. Like, grandma types. That's not my thing. And then for him to just tell me his preferred sexual positions. I've had some weird conversations in my work life. This is kind of like, okay, this is a little bit back to what I'm saying about the privacy thing, right? Like, you work at McDonald's. And to a certain extent, like, when I worked there and I was on the register, I felt like I was paid to take a certain level of abuse. Now, it wasn't about, like, hey, you're paid to be abused, so just let people yell at you. It's just that you have to expect it comes with the territory. And if you're going to get pissed off at everyone who's kind of a jerk, like, this, it's going to be, you can't work that job. It's never going to work. You're going to hate life, they hate you, you hate them, and no one's happy. However, there is a point, I think, sometimes that people cross where if I were a manager at a McDonald's, let's say, if somebody was just, like, yelling at one of my employees for, you know, something that's not a big deal, I think I'd be like, hey, you don't have to take that kind of shit. Like, you can tell that person, go fuck yourself, right? Because at some point, I think people cross the line in their anger and they're like berating you as a person as opposed to a McDonald's employee. And they're not like, you know, when it's like, okay, yeah, I put ketchup on your burger and you weren't supposed to have it. Or even I'm working the register at a restaurant. Someone put ketchup on your burger. It's not supposed to have it. I'm making you a new one right now. How much do you get to yell at? Like, what's the appropriate amount to yell at this person, right? And, like, I've had these situations in my current job, and usually it's not getting yelled at so much. There have been a couple times where I've just been real tempted, because I'm a human being, to just say something along the lines of, listen, you're crossing the line and violating into, like, talking about me personally, and so if you want to continue berating me this way, I'm going to clock out, and then I can tell you what I really think. But in the meantime, no. And, you know, this happens in, like, non... This is kind of like how I feel about, you know, part of my work, too, is it's a free speech zone outside. So you'll have, like, during political times, you'll have people there campaigning for politicians, and that's okay as long as they're not violating the... As long as they're not inside, and as long as they're not impeding people's ability to enter and exit, right? But so, like, there was a guy who was coming every day for 2 weeks, and every time I went in and out to leave or go to lunch, he was like, hey, are you a registered Republican? And, like, I got to the point, and it's a little unfair, because I'm like, I'm at work, I can't just, like, yell at this guy. But at the same time, you want to be like, hey, I don't know if you noticed, look at my face, I work here, I'm going to be here every day for the next 2 weeks. And if you're going to be here every day for the next 2 weeks, let's get to know each other, and you can stop asking me that. Please stop asking me that. Leave me alone. Because they're not, he's not asking me a work thing. He's asking me another thing, but because I'm at work, I have to be on my work manners and not my personal manners, which are different. Because when I'm at work, it's like I said at McDonald's. Like, I think that, you know, even at work still, you're paid to be polite. Like, I think it's important to be polite, and I think it's important to be nice. And in my personal life, I'm very polite and very nice. However, if someone in my personal life kind of, like, crosses the boundary and is, I feel, taking advantage of how nice I'm being, I don't have a problem with telling them that and saying, I think I've been pretty clear about how I feel about this. Don't ask me again. Right? Like Comcast, I've had it out with them on the phone. Jesus Christ, they called me so many times that I ended up having a fight with someone on the phone there while I was, like, on the streets of Seattle. Because they were like, oh, we're trying to get you back. We're wondering why you left. And I was like, I will never have service from you again, ever. Because this is not worth it. And, like, you kept upping the charges, and then you want to have the charges come down, but then I got to talk to you on the phone for an hour. And that's not worth it to me. Like, I'm too busy for that shit. I don't care. Don't ever call me again. Do not call me again. Like, I don't care what it takes for you to get that message. Stop. We're done. We are done. Okay. So this is the thing. I feel like there is a level that an adult can violate, at which point you don't have to be polite. Like, I think your work can only reasonably expect you to be polite for so long. And I think this guy was definitely violating what I would see as that line by telling me that he can only have sex in the doggy style position. Right? Like, that's going too far. I don't know this guy. And that's not everything he told me. He showed me a picture of his airplane. Because he's like, well, yeah, if the U.S. economy tanks, I can be in Canada in 5 hours. And I was like, okay, that's kooky. And then he was also told me this tale. He told me, you know, before about how he'd learned the computer because he had to date. And he's like, you know, I wish in high school I'd been forced to study more because I never learned how to study. Like, I just breezed through high school. And then I got to college and it was really hard. And so I wish that I'd been forced to do more studying so I would have been better prepared. Which I was like, that's understandable. Now, he's telling me this after he's told me the doggy style thing. So I'm already like, where is this going? Like, how do you back down from telling me as an old man, you know, and I'm doing everything I can not to look at you so I don't have to picture you naked and whatever, in a position, a specific position, sometimes referred to as the spoon position. How do we back down and get back to you just telling me about, learning, pedagogy. And so he's telling me how he barely passed college. You know, it was tough for him because he had, like, a calculus class. He was studying to be a pharmacist. He had to retake this calculus class, like, 3 times because you had to have a 3.0 to graduate. And he had, like, a 3.09 or something, and he graduated barely. And so he got his degree, and he was, you know, trained to be a pharmacist, but he decided to open up some restaurants instead. Now, his brother decided to become a pharmacist. and was working, and he was in a busy city working at a busy pharmacy, and his brother had no legs because of a diabetic something. And so here's what they would do. Because this guy was working, you know, running restaurants, and his brother was a pharmacist, and they had the same last name and shit. So what would happen is, when it was time for his recertification or continuing education, his brother would go to these seminars twice, two times in a row, and therefore, this guy wouldn't have to go. And one time he would go as himself, and one time he would go as his brother. So meanwhile, this other brother has basically an expired license that someone is frauding to keep up for him. And he's like, and every so often I would just go work with my brother in his pharmacy. Now he's telling me this shit like I think I'm supposed to be like, he's a real go-getter and he's really working the system. And I was like horrified. Because honestly, I was just like, what are you doing? Why are you telling me this? Like, I started to feel like I was being tested. How am I going to tell some crazy organization? Buddy, I am not your therapist, okay? Like, I am not somebody who is gonna keep that secret for you, right? Like, I'm not obligated to keep that kind of a secret. I don't think, we never talked about that. That just seems really weird to me. Why would you tell me that? We weren't asking about anything, you know? This was him telling me that he'd been basically a complete fraud for his career, was in the course of him explaining to me why he learned how to use a computer. Which I don't need to know either, and it's fine to tell me, and it's great to be proud of yourself for learning the computer, but Jesus Christ, what are you thinking? Why would you tell me that? I don't understand. I don't know what I did to elicit this. And, you know, I try not to blame myself. Because sometimes, some crimes go slipping through the cracks. But, yeah, I was just, I don't know. I don't know how people go through their lives this way. And, I like really hope that I'm not this old man. Because here's the other thing. I just felt really strongly like this is an old man who has, like, financial comfort. He's had fun in his life. You know, he's finding, like, new girlfriends, and he's, like, you know, old. And, you know, he's still spry, and he's still driving to New Mexico and shit, and he's learning how to use the computer. Like, he's doing great. He's doing as well as probably any man of his age can possibly be doing in 2015. Like, I think he's as together and sharp and good as that gets. And yet, like, he clearly is lacking someone to talk to and tell about his, you know, life, and someone who understands his life and understands him, because he just fucking told me all this shit. And it makes me think, like, Jesus Christ, he's probably telling people at the grocery store, right? Like, why would he tell me all this stuff? I don't understand. And, like, part of it, too, I think part of the bothersome thing about it is, like, when someone tells you this and you're at work, you don't have the options, again, to, like, respond honestly. Like, it's hard for me to be like, I could. I think I would be within my rights, for sure, if he told me that, to be like, yeah, don't tell me about your sex life. But here's the thing. Like, I have to help him fix his computer. And, you know, it's easier for me to just fix his computer and get the fuck out of there. And not have a, like, behavior correction session with an 80-some-year-old man. Because I don't think it's that he doesn't know. I think it's that he just needs to tell somebody. I mean, that's my opinion there. I don't know that, but I suspect. So, I don't know. Like, it's kind of fucked up because it just makes me think about, like, I don't know, when I'm an old man. Like, what is my life going to be like? And also, the life he leads would be great, like, for me to live now. Like, if he's like, I don't know, if I was like, yeah, I don't have kids. I, you know, own my home. I have a couple cars. I don't worry about cars. I fly a plane. Like, that's amazing. That's cool. You know, But, clearly he's not... He's got something major missing. Anyway, that's my big work story about Mr. Doggy Style. I don't know. Like, I would love to hear from listeners, like, male or female. Do you, like, routinely find older men or women attractive? And by older, I mean 65 plus. And I don't mean the five hottest of all time. Like, you know, don't tell me, Sean Connery in the, you know, in the 90s was old and attractive. No shit. Like, that's the whole thing. It's like the same thing as the Helen Mirren thing, I feel like. Where you're like, oh, Sean Connery's old and attractive, so that proves it exists. And you're like, yeah, but I think he's kind of famous because he's proving that that exists. Like, he's famous exactly because we don't expect that to exist, and it does. He's famous because he's so outside the normal parameters in that way. Like, he's famous precisely because he's so unusual in that way. So I don't want to hear about those people. I just want to know, like, have you ever been out at, like, a fucking Village Inn or an IHOP and you saw an old man and you're just like, that's a good-looking old dude. Like, I'd be into that. Or does anyone have, like, a old relative or, like, a in-law or something? Where you're like, yeah, my husband has a grandpa who's like 80 and he's like good looking. Or, you know, I find him attractive on some level. Other than he's like a nice old man. Or don't tell me cute, too. That's horrible. Like, I got a feeling that when you're old, the cuteness of being an old couple or being old is not something that you would enjoy so much. Like, oh, it's so cute that we're old and in love, and it's like, no, this is like our lives. I don't find that cute. Fuck you. Fuck you, I find you cute. What do you think about that? So anyway, I would just love to hear if anyone's got like a... this is my person. This totally works for me. Alright, well with that item on your to-do list to let me know, thanks for listening again. I still have a cold. I'm still in the car. I'm in a fucking tunnel. I'm on the Continental Divide right now. If that's exciting for people who don't live around here, like, hey. I don't know. I heard that the Continental Divide is where, like, the water goes east or west, and then I also heard that that's complete bullshit. So if that's not what it is, I'd sure like to know what it is, what the Continental Divide is exactly. If it's just the tippy top of a mountain range... That is not exciting. And why wouldn't they call it that? The tippy top. The edge of the razor. The devil's backbone, which some kids will rollerblade down later if you're patient. Alright. And we were referencing our own show, which was referencing the movie Airborne. It's time to go.